what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello everyone, this is the Interview Queen, Alicia Too.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Crew.
This is Veggie.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in the draw, and the face of Impact Wrestling, Sammy Callahan.
The one and only shot with Thunder Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Breck, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening to...
You are listening to...
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious. Hey, yeah.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by two-time ring announcer of the year, Mad Dog, Mike Angus. How are you doing this evening, Mike?
Easy, Chris. How are we getting on, man?
Very well, thank you. You?
Yeah, the Mad Dog is in the house.
So, huge thanks for joining us this evening. Before we get into what you're up to, what shows you've got coming up, I just wanted to ask a bit about your fandom. So, firstly, how long have you been a wrestling fan?
Oh, I've been a wrestling fan now for at least 30 years.
Yeah.
So I started watching when I was very young, and used to love watching the wrestling. It used to be used to get WCW on Saturday afternoons.
Yeah.
It was on the TV here, so I watched that. And the video shop at the top of my road used to have all the classic WWF at the time. It was videos, so went through the whole back catalogue of all those, watching them. Just loved them, so every weekend I'd have one of them out.
Yeah, every Friday night.
WrestleMania history through, yeah.
Yeah, I have vague recollections of the world of sports at my grand's when I was...
Yeah, oh goodness me, I think that was just before my time. Yeah. So my sort of earliest ones were, I remember like WrestleMania 3 and 4 were out on videotape, so I watched them. The WrestleMania 4 was definitely one of my top favourites with the tournament. Loved that. And the time I really, really, really got into it was about around the time of WrestleMania 9, I think it was. About WrestleMania 9 when they did that, and then Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's right. And it's my girlfriend's favourite one.
Yeah, I had all the sort of videos and magazines and stuff leading up to that, you know, and sort of caught up with the storylines and everything.
Yeah.
And then I sort of went from there, got like, used to get the figures, used to get magazines, collector's cards, stickers, just everything I could get my hands on. And then sort of obviously worked my way back through the history from then. And then moving forwards, it wasn't until a little bit later on that I started like going to shows and stuff, because none of my family or anyone were like fans at all. It was just me. Yeah. I was just like the wrestling fan, you know. That was like the thing. So for Christmas presents, shopping was easy for me because it was just obviously, getting whatever wrestling figures you can, you know, and you'll be happy.
Yeah, same, Mike. You buy him other stuff and it just gets put in the buying figures though.
That's it. There's always use. I've still got all my wrestling figures. I was thinking of starting a Mad Dog's Collectibles podcast channel sort of thing on YouTube.
Yeah.
I've got so much like rare wrestling collectibles and memorabilia. I think there's definitely got to be a market for someone wanting to see the wrestling junk I've got, really.
Yeah, it's got hashtag Fig Life on Twitter if you want to put things like that.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to check it out because I've got... I wouldn't say my figures have been looked after the best. They've been well and truly wrestled.
Yeah.
I know Dwight the Clown has lost a finger in an incident with involving Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. So,
so who were some of your favourite wrestlers growing up then?
Oh well, for a long time, Bret Hart was my favourite. I found the other week a birthday card for my 8th birthday, and it was a Bret the Hitman Hart card. So Bret was big favourite. Shawn Michaels was obviously a big favourite because it was around the time, you know, when he had his big babyface push, 95, 96, I was watching. So, and then obviously when I first watched just Macho Man, Hulk Hogan, all the characters from the late 80s stood out so much on them videos. Loved Demolition, Mr. Perfect, Million Dollar Man, all the WWF Golden Age legends, you know.
Yeah, I had all the wrestling cards before I'd even see on tallies, but they were all like the late 80s guys. So when I started watching it in like 92, none were there anymore. I was like, well, my cards aren't there anymore. So I could go back and get all the videos.
Yeah, I've got there. What cards did you have? I used to have the, I had a blue set. I had a yellow set and a black set. I had like the full sets of all of them.
I can't remember off the top
of my head. They were like, The one was like a SummerSlam 92 special set. I remember that because I know it had like Tatanka and British Bulldog and quite a few of them. I think they were tops, them ones. They were pretty cool, them sets of cards, though.
I don't think they were top trumps. But no, my mum, they were just in a sale bin.
That's it. My next door neighbour at one point had grown out of wrestling. Yeah. I don't know how old he was, maybe 10 or something. And he gave me all his WWF magazines as well and sticker books. So I just had an extra hoard from there. So I've got like sort of all the magazines from sort of 91 through few 90, few 92, all them bits and bobs. So the Rockers breakup, Papa Shango debuting and coming in with all the voodoo stuff that was featured heavily in there. WWF magazine at the time.
Wow. Yeah, my co-host Mark, he's got a YouTube channel and he's got a 1992 sticker book and they're slowly filling it in. And they're quite funny about this. It sounds very boring when I say it. They're filling in a sticker book as a video. It's quite entertaining.
Hey, I'm going to have to check that. I've probably got some swaps for him.
Have you ever been a lapsed fan?
Lapsed towards start watching. No, I've watched quite a lot right the way through, really. I went to, as I was going through high school, it was the Attitude Era, so I watched, started watching like Friday nights and stuff. Me and the guys would get a pizza and watch and get some like Arca Pops or whatever we could get our hands on and watch Raw. And then like pay per views, sort of when we were in sixth form, we'd watch all the pay per views on the Sunday nights. And it was live on them. Channel 4 at one point, wasn't it? So watched a few of those, and then went from there. So started going to live shows and stuff. Went to when I was in sixth form, I had a day off, and WWE were in SmackDown. It was were in Wembley. Yeah. So I got the train down to London and went and met Chris Benoit and Rhino in Hamley's toy store randomly.
But they weren't doing the signing; just met them.
They were doing a signing, random it was. I just saw it advertised and I saw it the day off and I was like, oh, that's it, I'm going. Didn't really make any plans, just got the train down to London.
Wow.
And went and met Chris Benoit and Rhino, so there you go. And went to the show that night, got some relatively cheap tickets, but I saw he was fighting, trying to think what year it was. Must have been about 2001, 2002. But yeah, it was a good. Remember it being a good show, and I got a coach back through the night.
Yeah, wow. So, how did you get into the business?
So after I went to university, I came back to the Wirral and was running pub quizzes and things like that in my day job.
Yeah,
more night time and doing bits and bobs like that. And then it was a little bit later on. Somebody who used to come to the pub quizzes called me and said, "There's a company called TNT Extreme Wrestling, and they are doing a show this week, and their ring announcer, they need a ring announcer basically, and we think you'd be ideal for it." So somehow my name got passed on to them. They contacted me.
Wow.
And I thought, yeah, that's perfect for me to do that. So I went, did it, smashed it up the water. It was a great show, and that's it. Just went from there. But I'd already been to like see bits of British wrestling. I'd been to PCW. And a few other, All-Star, right the way through from sort of school time. We used to go and see All-Star when it was on at the Liverpool Empire and stuff.
Yeah.
So we saw sort of, at one point we saw Yokozuna, Earthquake, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Tatanka, Marty Jannetty, people like that all came through. But it was a bit later on that I got involved. So, it was a lucky break, really, that somebody had heard me doing quizzes and stuff, knew that I liked wrestling, and put two together and just told the right person, and then suddenly I got that call. So and I've gone from strength to strength from there doing that. So
I said, did you ever have any ambitions of getting in there as a wrestler?
You know what, I thought when I first started that it was going to be too late to get involved with it. I thought, I'm too old, I'm a dad, I'm not going to be doing that. I was still sporty and hitting the gym and stuff. But then sort of after about doing it for about a year and a half, 2 years, working with everyone, I thought, I could get into shape and do this. So I started going to training with All-Star at the All-Star Academy with Dean Allmark and Terry Tyson, and started doing a few bits. And I went for quite a while. And then I was getting to the standard where I was reasonable. But then I had a car crash, an incident, so I was injured in that. And then I just couldn't get back into going to the gym and getting back into shape. Took a break from the wrestling and never got back into it. But my sort of day job at the time took over, so I was so busy with that and busy being a parent. And then obviously the ring announcing picked up. I've just been busy doing that. Never say never that you would see the mad dog in a ring, but no. I would definitely need to get back in the gym and get back to training and learning just the fundamental basics, really, is the things I hadn't learned. So, it takes a lot of practice and taking bumps and everything, and my gymnastic skills are not the best, I'm not going to deny.
Yeah, I've seen it when you wrestle Ireland a couple of times, and it looks like you're about to throw down some wrestlers.
Oh, mate, I'm always ready to fight people. Yeah, that's all right. That's why they call me Mad Dog, but it doesn't mean I'm going to do it with any technical prowess. No. So, interestingly, the first show I did for TNT was in June 2015.
Yeah.
And it was the first meeting that I know of Sweet Soraya and Lana Austin.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was quite a monumental match. And people who were on the card, there were some big names on the card. Joe Hendry was on it.
Definitely.
And the main event was Damo, Big Damo, and Mastiff against the Hooligans.
Wow.
That was the main event that night. So I got to work with some big names right from the off.
Yeah, so
with TNT there. So it was a good place to join the fray, really. Ideal timing, just as the company was starting.
Yeah.
They'd only done one show at the time, which was a bit of a rare. The first Merseyside Massacre was in there. I'd been in February that year, and it was a bit of a hodgepodge where they had like quite a lot of sort of random characters from all over the country on it and stuff, and it was all different sort of hardcore matches and stuff and all sorts of bits and bobs, it hadn't really found its the formula for TNT at the time, and then. The only sort of thing in place was that Roughneck was a big part of the first show.
Yeah.
And, he carried on to be for the first couple of years at TNT. Keith was Roughneck was, Mr. TNT himself,
Yeah, definitely.
He really embodied what we were looking for, going forward. So
working for TNT, I'm guessing you've introduced David Starr.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So how did you deal with
the cream in your coffee? Your favourite wrestler's favourite wrestler.
Yeah.
The Jewish canon. The physical embodiment of charisma. The most entertaining man in professional wrestling. The Bernie Sanders of professional wrestling. The best. Oh, the best. Yeah, I've learned that now.
How did you deal with it the first time you introduced
me? First time I was there, I always try to ring announce, especially the big shows that are being filmed, without any sort of cards or any paperwork.
I try and people have cards.
Learn exactly what I'm going to say beforehand, so I nail it.
Yeah.
And I was concerned about doing it. I thought I would forget something. And what did I forget? The thing is, as well, he changes it up a little bit every time. He'll tell me something different. Like, sometimes he's the circumcised saviour.
Yeah.
And other times he's not. The list I've got is the one I go off as my definitive list. Now, we added in he's independent into it. And we've recently added in at the end, and your new TNT World Champion. So next show we'll have... We'll have to throw in current reigning and defending champion at some point, won't we? So
definitely.
So that'll be good, yeah. But I've how many times have I done it now? I've done it about five or six times. His intro. One of the times he distracted me. It was Davey Starr versus El Fantasmo, and El Fantasmo had put his glasses on me and his jacket on me, and David Starr was laughing at me when I was trying to do the intro. And I missed out. He's really good at Twitter, which enough people out the crowd pointed that out to me.
Yeah.
Anytime you make a mistake, it's you've effed up and all that, So, yeah. You try remembering 16 nicknames off by our cretin.
So is there a wrestler you lesser's entrance you really look forward to doing?
You know what, I enjoy doing all of, I think it's a big part of it, and it makes it can make someone really stand out if they have a great entrance and everyone's excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sets the tone for the whole match, doesn't it? So I think the ring announcing is a huge part of it. I've heard other people say it's not so important, but I think it's massive. I think if you have a good announcement and everything, it hypes everyone up for the match, you know.
It does, yeah.
And if you've got them details out there, if it introduces the character, and you know, people know that you're giving them information that's important to them to form, you know, what they think of that person in their mind, aren't you? So, yeah, I think it's a huge part of it.
And it's, has there been a wrestler on the British scene that you've announced pretty much earlier in their career and you loved following it? So,
oh, you know, there's been so many people who I've worked with. You know, I've just been really lucky, the people I got to work with. You know, I was working with Mark Haskins in 2015, BT Gunn, Wolfgang, Joe Coffey, people who've all gone on to have, you know, great careers and who are now working with, you know, like NXT UK mm-hmm. and AEW and stuff like that. You know, people who've really moved on and done great for themselves. You know, I worked with Flash Morgan Webster, Chris Ridgeway, you know, all the gang. But, you know, one who's really stood for me recently, who I loved ringing out him for and was great to work with, he's been with TNT Extreme Wrestling with us in Liverpool quite a lot last year, was Pac.
Yes.
And, you know, I just think he's...
Was it him against Jordan Fleisch, wasn't it? Was that last year?
Yeah, he did a few bits for us last year, and I just think he's, you know, he's just awesome. He's so good in the ring. I felt he was held back, unfortunately, in WWE. He just didn't get his chance, did he, to do what he could do in there. And I'm so happy seeing him on AEW now, because he's, you know, I think he's going to come on leaps and bounds and just get to show people really what he's all about. I just think it'll be great to see, because he's a class act and you know, he's really very talented. So looking forward to seeing what he does.
Yeah, he just seemed to be just finding his feet with this new character, and then he left in WWE, and then just...
He basically had a year, as far as I could see, he basically had a year out.
Yeah, he asked to leave after to lose the title to Enzo. They said, no, you can wait out, you can't just sit at home for 9 months, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I don't think he's left on particularly bad blood or anything, you know. I'm sure they'd welcome him back there, you know, but it's whether they'd, you know, do the right things from a creative or whatever, so, but, yeah.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
I have asked the Wrestle Island and the TNT fans Facebook group some questions.
Oh, awesome. You never know what them guys are going to come up with.
Some of them, I think, may be inside jokes, which I don't get.
Mate, if any of them are inside jokes, hit me up with them. I'll explain the stories to him.
Cool. So you first up, we've got Andy Lewis. He asks him how good London Wrestling Con was.
London Wrestling Con with Andy Lewis. Well, that was when I met Andy. That was... must have been 2015.
Yeah.
And for my birthday gift to myself, I got tickets to go to, I think it was the PSI WrestleCon in London. And it was in the London Bridge Hotel, I believe. And I have a thing where I like to, when I go to the wrestling, I like to sort of make a bit of a weekend of it or whatever. And I'll always try and stay, if it's obvious to see where the wrestlers are going to be staying, I'll always try and stay in the same place.
Yes.
To give myself an opportunity to meet them and have a beer with them or whatever, you know. So I'll always try and catch up and have a proper chat with them, you know. So this one was in London Bridge Hotel, and I checked in. And as soon as I checked in, went to the bar. And literally everybody who was at the WrestleCon the next day was at the bar. So it was Gangrel,
wow.
Alberto Del Rio, Nasty Boys, the Mountie, just the whole crew who were at this wrestling convention were just at the bar drinking. And I was lucky enough to... just to speak to Gangrel at the bar briefly, and he said, come and sit with us, and oh, you know, wow. Introduced me to everybody. So I went and sat down with them all and had a few beers.
Oh, Bret
Hart was there, and it was great. And I remember the Nasty Boys were causing havoc in the hotel, but at one point one of them turned around to me, and he's just chatting away, and he just goes, just sit under the learning tree and listen, kid, you'll love this. So just got the chance to chat to them all. It was
stories.
Great. Yeah. You know what? Some of the stories I've heard are just absolutely hilarious, and you know that's the part of the business that I appreciate so much is that these guys travel around as a family, you know, for years of their lives.
Yeah,
and they're just like best mates on the road. It's so cool to see the relationship they have, not just with the fans and you know people who look up to them, but they have with each other. They're such a good, you know, they're just a gang of them. It's hilarious to watch, just like a big gang of brothers, and. You know, to have been lucky enough to sort of be introduced to them and chat to them and have a few drinks. And I was that night, I must have been chatting to Barry Darso at a Demolition Smash for a good hour and a half. And, you know, just having a few beers. As you know, that's what things like that are all about. You know, it's a great opportunity to meet them. And obviously that as well is where I then met Andy Lewis, who's, you know, a big wrestling fan from the Wirral. And he, the next day we were in the queue to get a photograph, an autograph, I believe, with Lita and Trish Stratus.
Yeah.
So we're in the queue for that. And both me and Andy are next to each other in the queue. And this queue must be a good half hour long at least, you know. And the queue is just in the middle of a hall. And everyone's standing up queuing. But the queue is moving so slowly because everyone wants to chat to Trish and Lita, you know. I went out and grabbed a chair for myself and sat down on the chair. I was like, I'm not standing in this queue all this time. Got a chair and put it in the queue. And Andy was the guy next to me. He's like, what a great idea. When I got a chair as well, because the queue's moving so slow. So we just sat down, the two of us in the queue with chairs, and the security just were like, that's fine. It's moving so slow. You know, you can move your chair with you as you go through the queue. So me and him went through the queue on chairs and then put them by the stage and just put them out the way. And obviously I met him, and it turned out we're both from the Wirral. So. Oh, so the two troublemakers carrying chairs about at the convention with the... from the Wirral, so so then I've seen him numerous times at a show since then, but it's just funny that that was how we met in the queue to meet Trish and Lita.
So are you hoping to meet Barry Darso at Full Love of Wrestling too? I remind him of
Well, I worked with Wrestling Travel last year.
I saw you walking around last year. I was on the
graphic. Oh, awesome, of course. Well, I was doing so my role last year was working with Wrestling Travel, who were the sponsors, and I was it was my role sort of to make sure the guys got from their autograph sessions to the stage and to Q&As safely and quickly, and also that we could grab them for any media sort of purposes we needed them for. So doing like interviews for the Wrestling Travel channel and for their social media and things like that. And also we had some Wrestling Travel models who were working with us as well.
Yes,
so to get the guys to have, what was that? Sorry, Wrestling Travel. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw their models. Yeah.
That's it. Yes, I had to look after them as well. They were both lovely. The girls we had working with us, and obviously the wrestlers appreciated them as well. So it was a nice little photo opportunity. Pardon me, especially with the some of the sets they had set up there with the Piper's Pit and the barber shop and the old classic WWF studio. So, we could get the photos taken in them, and it turned out really nicely, you know, for the shots that we needed. So, yeah, it was great. I absolutely loved it. And, looking forward to hopefully, I believe I'm working there again this year. And also TNT. I've got shows on that weekend as well. Supreme Extreme is going to be over that weekend as well. So it's going to be a full weekend in Liverpool of wrestling again, and it'll be some of the best guests who I've met at other conventions and things. At Access and at WrestleCons, some of the best people are coming to this one. So Million Dollar Man, it was a great guy last year. We had such a good laugh with him at the bar after the Love of Wrestling last year. Obviously, Barry Darso is over again. And it's just a great little gang of people are over for it. So it'll be, I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I'm hoping to work the whole weekend this year. I could only work the Sunday last year.
So. Oh, was it? Yeah. If you can, that's the thing. It's just like a dream weekend for wrestling fans, and it'll be the interaction that you can get at that, and meet everyone you want to meet, and everyone's there with like minds, to go and do wrestling stuff, watch wrestling shows. It's just it's going to be awesome. So really looking forward to it. And Monopoly events, I think have really pulled it off the bag and done a great job with it as well. So good on Andy Cleek and his team there.
Yeah, another place I also saw you, WrestleMedia Con in Manchester. We were sitting opposite each other on the front of the rail replacement bus between Liverpool and Warrington. I was looking at it the whole time going, I know you. I couldn't think where I knew you from. But
I know him from somewhere. Yes. That's it, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, there's always some sort of rail replacement bus, isn't there, travelling on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Manchester and Liverpool, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't until I got to the next Wrestle Island show. I was like, oh, that was the guy on the bus. The ring announcer.
That's who it was, yeah. I knew him. The Mad Dog.
So the next question we have Leo Bryan asks, what advice JR gave you about sleep apnea?
Oh, goodness me. Well, that's a story linked to that WrestleCon, actually, because Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart were two of the guests at that, and they were doing a joint Q&A.
Yeah.
And JR was going to be the mediator for it, you know, doing the questions. And at the time, I believe he'd been suffering with sleep apnea, which I'm not going to go into it because I'll do the whole thing. But basically, JR was meant to be introducing Shawn and Bret, but then went into the spiel and started talking about sleep apnea and just got caught up in it. And he literally spoke about sleep apnea and getting a sleep test and all this. And it was a good 20 to 30 minutes.
Wow.
And everyone loves JR. He's great. But when they're waiting for Shawn Michaels and Bret to come on and do a Q&A, and they know it's a limited time, the audience, you could tell they were getting tetchy with JR because he was just trying to ram home these important points, which was important, about sleep apnea. But just people in the audience were getting, you know, were not wanting to listen. So,
yeah, it's important, but it's not for that audience.
Well, yeah, so he was trying to make a point, but unfortunately it went a little bit too long and a little bit too serious for the people who were waiting to hear Shawn and Bret talk about the Montreal Screwjob. So, I when I've had a drink and we have a night out at some point, I will tell you the full version of that story, but I don't believe it's probably going to go down well on your podcast, unfortunately.
All right, then we've got the Wrestle Island general manager, Mr. Williams, asks why you're such an idiot.
Mr. Williams, what a legend that guy is. He's our general manager at Wrestle Island, and he rules with an iron fist. He doesn't want any idiots about, and he'll be happy to tell you. He's definitely got some sort of issue with me. He was trying to fire me at one of the shows recently he'd done something that I didn't judge to be correct. He was trying to end a match without there being a pinfall, I believe, or something along them lines. And then he was forcing me to make the announcement. So, I was having none of that. But, I always do my best to stick by the referee's rule under that. But, I know Mr. Williams wasn't happy about that one. But, he's had some cracking matches in his time.
He has. He said he really only got into wrestling when he was 36. I think he said he stopped.
Yeah, I think Mr. Williams is one of my favourite characters in the business to watch. When he was on that little mobility scooter, were you at that show at all?
I've only missed one show in the last 2 years.
When he went round on that mobility scooter and he was reversing back up the aisle, I was struggling to keep doing what I was meant to do, and he was just hilarious. But and he's took some beatings, that guy, as well. He's a tough man.
Yeah, he whacked himself in the head at the last show.
That was insane. Yeah, I've never seen somebody hit a kendo stick as hard as he did on himself. That was something pretty special. Amazing moments.
Yeah, then we've got Mazza Rage Shakira.
Oh, you're Mazza, yeah. What's Mazza asking?
He says, that's what I'm going to say. Can you ask him why he enjoys winding up Matty Douglas about Real Sunset?
Oh, Dougie Matthews. So Dougie's a young up-and-coming wrestler. He works for Britannia Wrestling Promotions and others. And he is, he's looking really good. He's a real prospect, but he's got a bad attitude, that kid, unfortunately. It was only the other month he let slip to me that he must have been one of my first Britannia Wrestling shows. And I always speak to the guys backstage so I can find out where they're from, you know, so I can announce where they're from.
Yeah.
And he said to me, he's from Prestatyn itself.
Yeah.
Pardon me. He's from Prestatyn, but he was saying he doesn't want to be from Prestatyn anymore. And because, he can't stand the audience who come to the shows there and everything.
Yeah. So
he was saying other places he was from. And I jokingly said, well, I'll announce he said something about Rill. And I said, oh, no problems, I'll announce you from Rill. But when I went to announce it, I just announced that he was from Real Sun Centre, because that was like the only place I really knew in Real.
Yeah.
And obviously that's like a water park with water slides and swimming pools and stuff. So I just announced that he was from there and he went nuts. He just absolutely lost it.
Yeah.
And I said, why? I said to him afterwards, why are you getting so carried away about that, man? And he's like, Mad Dog, you know this. I can't swim. And it was only then that I found out as well that he has a fear of inflatables.
Wow.
So then I just can't stop winding him up. about that. So I suggested that all the fans for the summer show we did should bring inflatables. So there was beach balls, armbands, inflatable crocodiles and sharks flying about the ring as he's trying to have his match. And it just puts him off so much. He's meant to be concentrating on one of the biggest matches of his career for the Alpha Gen Championship against Jack Griffiths. And he just cannot concentrate at all. He ended up losing in what must have been the shortest match in BWP history. Literally, the ring bell went. He got distracted by someone in the crowd. And Jack Griffiths, with an awesome package roll-up, rolled him up, 1, 2, 3. That was it. It was over. His entrance had lasted longer than his match.
Wow. He's hinted he's going to be in the Ireland Rumble this year.
Well, you know what? He actually caused Paradox to lose the titles at the last Wrestle Island show because he was involved. He was front row with his scallywag tag team partner, and they at one point interfered in the match. It was a no-holds-barred match. They interfered, slammed RJ Silver, powerbombed him onto thumbtacks, or drawing pins, as we call them in the UK. and cost Paradox the titles to the Dogs of War, and that was at the last Wrestle Island show. So, if he does show up at Wrestle Island, I'm sure there will be some comeuppance on Sunday the 23rd at the St. Anne's Club in Rock Ferry
when Wrestle Island returns to us.
Yeah, I would suggest that if you were he's going to show up, the people have inflatables ready for him to welcome him to Wrestle Island.
All right, got Jay Apter. Is he the owner of TNA?
He is the owner of TNT Extreme Wrestling. So. And he is an absolute legend. Big shout out to Jay, if he's listening at all. He's a great guy. And you know what he's doing in Liverpool, he's trying to do something pretty special there. So reminiscent of old school ECW was what we started working with. And then we're really building to something special this year. 2020, we have almost, I think, 23 shows this year. So, the more we can do and the better we keep getting, it'll be, we're really onto something there. And hopefully, everyone keeps enjoying the shows and coming along to it. What's he asking?
He just said, tell him he's going to try me.
If he wanted to try me, why didn't he try me, Reg?
So that's, I must have told him that story so many times drunk. It's a story I heard Bret Hart talking about, and it's a story about Owen and Stu.
I
think if I remember the story correctly, Bret Hart is at SummerSlam. It might be 90 or 91, and Owen's travelled with them, and Stu has travelled with them as well, and Owen's playing a prank on Stu, pretending to be this old-school wrestling promoter and worker, Reg Park, who's the guy, I believe, who designed quite a few of the old-school WF title belts randomly.
Wow. Yeah.
And Owen's putting this guy's voice on, like a classic, ringing Stu in his hotel room, and I think Brett is with Stu, so he's only hearing the other side of the story. You know, he's only hearing Stu's thing. But Stu thinks he's talking to Reg Park, but it's Owen pranking him.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's, you know, pushing his buttons, grinding his gears, winding Stu up. And Brett can just see Stu getting angrier and angrier. And it's that point that Stu says to this guy who he thinks is Reg Park,
Reg, if you wanted to try me, why didn't you try me?
But it just cracks me up every time.
Yeah.
And any time me and Jay have had a beer or whatever, like after most TNT shows, we have a bit of an after party that have become legendary. At some point during the night, somebody will shout that to each other at some point. So yeah, a bit of an inside story that one, but yeah.
So no, we've got both Ian Jones and Graham Williams have asked where Mad Dog.
Mad Dog.
Yeah.
The Mad Dog. Oh no. Well. I think I've been known as the Mad Dog for quite a long time before wrestling. It was just sort of a culmination of people knowing my personality and knowing what I was like and sort of my partying antics after shows and stuff that somebody just called me the Mad Dog and it just stuck and that was it. And when I started ringing out, I just thought, I'll actually, call myself the Mad Dog. I'll use it. So, that was it. So, you knew me as the Mad Dog before and... anyone who's been to any of our after parties definitely calls me the Mad Dog now. So I think Graham Fish has been F5'd by me at an after show party before.
Wow.
There's generally a lot of good banter. Chris McMurty was watching SummerSlam 1 year.
Yeah.
And I remember he flew across the room on his own accord somehow. Just crazy antics really have led to that becoming my nickname. But
Graham also asks, would you let your son go into a wrestling?
You know what? I think with the right trainer, like somebody like Vino Mark is, I believe, one of the best wrestling trainers in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anybody, I myself have trained with Dean, and my good friend Matty Froh has as well. And he's trained some of the best. So I would suggest anyone who wants to get into wrestling, make sure you find the right trainer. And, you know, make sure you dedicate to it as well. Because, you know, there was a stage where I was dedicated to it. The injury sort of put me off it for a while. But never say never. I might get involved again in the future. But it's got to be with that right trainer. And Dean Allmark's your man if you live in Northwest or Wirral.
Yes.
And I believe sort of Fighting Spirit Wrestling School I've heard very good things out of as well. The North Wales Wrestling Dojo as well. Produce some great guys who are all very competent in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But people like the like Paradox have come through from All Star. Tony Storm came through from All Star. Pardon me. And just, you know, the All Star guys are you know, spot on. Very talented. You know, very good with like a traditional English style, and they just know the basics perfectly. And from there, you know, you can develop your whole career from that. You know, when as long as you know what you're doing with that sort of thing, then you know, you can be a safe and decent worker as well, and impress the crowd as well with things like that. So, and a lot of the guys work the camps over the summer, and you know, that's where they really hone their craft. And you know, working with the audience and knowing how to you know, interact with the audience and put on a good match. So, yeah, I think enough respect for them guys, definitely.
Yeah, I interviewed Nathan Crawls though.
Nathan Cruz is one of the smartest dressed people I've met in the wrestling industry.
Yeah,
I always try and dress smart for obviously when I'm ring announcing. But Nathan Cruz, bearing in mind he's wrestling, he'll show up to every show. Suited and booted, fully suited, very smartly dressed, and he's a good guy.
We've got Ian Jones again. So, what's your favourite promotion, and who would your dream match be against?
If I was fighting, who would my dream match would be against?
I assume so.
Well, my favourite promotion at the moment is obviously TNT Extreme Wrestling, because that's my main promotion I work for. Working against somebody, I would love to have a match against Babyface Pitbull.
Yeah.
Because Pitbull is, he has antagonized me since day one at Wrestle Island.
Yes.
And, you know, if anyone, I'm probably slightly to blame. The first time I ring announced him, I did question what would happen when a Mad Dog and a Pitbull got in the ring together.
Yeah.
And his response was, "Don't you ever mention your name and my name in the same sentence ever again." But it wasn't until I won the Ring Announcer of the Year in 2018. And in early 2019, I was presented with the award. And we did, at WrestleMania, I was allowed to do an acceptance speech.
Yes, I remember.
And Babyface Pitbull took exception to that and came out. And basically, I think he thought I was disrespecting him in some way. And at one point, just suplexed me onto my head. So, it's not the first time he's attacked me either. He attacked me backstage at one of the shows before as well. So he's just, you know, if I was going to have a match, if there was an opportunity arose, you know, if there was some sort of purge or something, say, I would definitely call him out.
Wow. Ian also asked, do you like the Rejected?
The Rejected? Do I like them, did he say?
Yeah. That's Ian and Graham are the leading.
I like what they do in the ring. Yeah, I've seen them working a lot of times, and they're very good. I thought they were stronger with Alexis Falcon alongside them, but then their numbers seem to be growing at recent shows.
Yeah.
Seems to be more of them creeping out of nowhere. So, you know, I think they're definitely a cult, and they've got a cult following. So, I still think there's more to come from them at Wrestle Island. But, I look forward to seeing what they do in the future.
Yeah, I think I've interviewed 11 Rejected members.
Crikey. Well, I'll tell you something, V for Vendetta is my favourite movie.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a similarity between the mask that they wear and the mask in that, so that's an interesting...
All right, then you got Ben Cecil.
Big Ben from TNT. Yeah, he is the legend on the merchandise stand. He's a great guy, and he works very hard for TNT, and he's good at what he does. That's what you need. And he's also, he takes a bump like nobody else. Wow. For some reason, anytime there's a pull-apart brawl, Ben always seems to be in the middle of it. he always ends up on the deck. I've seen him hit by numerous wrestlers in pull-apart brawls before, and it always be him who ends up taking like a big boot or a drop kick, out of nowhere. In a crowd of people, a wrestler can take out Ben, with no issues at all.
it's serious question.
Remember, it must have been last year at some point. It was leading up to crowning the first ever TNT Tag Team Champion and the Purge, Kings of the North. Huge brawl. And that was when we were at Fusion Nightclub in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And there was this massive brawl and that locker room empty to come and help it out. But I just remember, anything like that happens, I'll always get out the way. I'm in the suit. I'll get out the way, leave the boys to it. I saw Ben fly past me. Eating some sort of drop kick off one of the Kings of the North or something. He was just rolling across the ring. I was just like, oh no, Ben, not again. You go into the back at some shows and the medic's there with the wrestlers. Now we've took a knock or whatever. And then you go in, there's Ben with the medic again. Like, Ben, go back to merch for your own safety.
That is right, but seriously, what's the most stressful situation you've ever been in on a wrestling show?
We've had a couple of stressful ones. Nothing hugely. We try and keep our cool, but sometimes you might see me sort of in front of the camera side looking completely calm and composed, and I'll go back behind the curtain and there'll be all sorts of stuff going wrong. And, a lot of times stress comes from things like traffic jams that you might not think of as a fan.
Yeah.
But a traffic jam on a Sunday afternoon when, getting ready to start a show or whatever, or Thursday evening shows, particularly getting people into Liverpool city centre, you'd be surprised how many times that the card that you see is not the order the card was written down 10 minutes before the show, just because it's like, where is so-and-so, he's meant to be here. Oh, he's in the car from Leeds. Oh my God, no, they're stuck in traffic. He's meant to be on first, and you'll see people running in through the back door, putting boots on as they're getting out of a car and stuff, so they're the stressful situations you have.
Liverpool's a pain in the arse to get round if you don't know your way around it.
Exactly, that's it. Yeah, so we'll always suggest people to head over as early as they can. And the longer people can spend there in the day, the more planning and organised you can be.
Get a train to Central. It's only round the corner. So if you
exactly. Yeah, and now we're at Hangar 34 for a lot of our shows So that's a little bit easier to sort of drive to, I believe. So it makes it easier for the guys to get there and park up and everything. One of the shows last year, Ignition, I showed up a little bit later than I was expecting to, because I'd been working. And when I got there, bearing in mind we'd sort of said to be there for free, I believe. Pardon me. I rocked up at 5 o'clock after working. Wow. And when I got there, there was no ring. The person who was providing the ring had some sort of incident. He couldn't make it anymore. So we were trying to sort out a ring. Apart from the guys who were bringing it, did us a great favour. It was spot on, except for the one thing was they were coming from Lincoln with the ring.
Wow.
Which was, I think they looked and it was a 4-hour drive. And I think we'd managed to get it all sorted out for them to set off around 1 o'clock. But to factor in the traffic and stuff as well, bear in mind the time the show was starting.
Yes.
I think that was one of the only times where we had to be honest with the crowd and say, listen, we do apologise. The ring is coming from elsewhere. We're getting it set up. We're going to do our best to get it going. And in the end, the show ran smoothly as it was, just with sort of half an hour later than we'd expected. But when the ring got there, obviously, it's all hands to the pumps, get that ring set up quick. But that was probably the most stressful, I think, because that day we had like sort of different people taking charge and stuff as well. So it was like a bit of a kerfuffle getting that sorted.
Yeah.
But with things like that, I think that when anything goes wrong, the best policy is to be honest with the fans, who've paid their hard-earned money to be there. They deserve to know what's happening. And if there is, if there is something that, you can't obviously cover up without, upsetting people, you've got to be honest with people and just tell them, this is how it is, this is what we're trying to do, and this is what, is probably going to happen, and just... because at the end of the day, it's the people's experience that counts. You want them to have a great time. So, you know, you've got to do your best to ensure that that happens.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll tell you a couple of interesting things as well. At DOA last year, bearing in mind we've got DOA coming up in just a week's time.
Yes.
At Hangar 34. Last year we held the event at Fusion. It was our very first DOA, which is our deathmatch tournament. And I remember in the main event, it came down to Mikey Whiplash and Jimmy Havoc.
Wow.
And then Mikey pile drove Jimmy Havoc through a table which was made out of fluorescent light tubes.
Wow.
Yeah, to win the DOA tournament. It was an amazing, amazing night. And you know, if you're a fan of deathmatch wrestling, you know, you're sort of classic ECW and even, you know, CZW as well, you would have absolutely loved it. But I remember looking at Mikey Whiplash, I announced him as the winner, and we had this a trophy ready to give to him. And he'd won the match, mm-hmm. but he just ran off backstage.
Yeah, wow.
I'm like, God, I was like, what the bloody hell's going on? He's meant to be getting the trophy, and I'm meant to be announcing him as the winner and all this. I'm like, where the hell's he gone? So I poked my head through the curtain, and I look at him and I said, what's going on? And blood is squirting out of his arm towards the ceiling.
Oh, I'm not very good at blood.
I was like, oh my God, what have you done? And he, obviously a piece of glass or whatever had gone into his arm. And he had, you know, some decent injury there.
Yeah.
And he did, however, come back out to get the trophy and do his speech. But he had to hold it. He had to elevate his arm and apply pressure with the bandage that the medics had given him. and then as soon as he got his award, that was it. He was out the back door straight into a waiting car, which took him to hospital. And wow. That was it. I remember we were at the, we got the ring down and everything. And then we were like, where is he? And we got a message off him on Twitter saying that. He was still in A&E. He was in A&E. So there you go. So
wow.
The guys put it all on the line for you at these shows, and it's the injuries do occur.
Josh Sykes asks if you could make a DVD of three matches to take onto a desert island. What match would you pick?
Ah, well, that's an interesting one. good question, Josh. I think I would take my favourite match of all time, which is a bit of a random one. I've said this before, which is Triple H versus Kevin Nash from Insurrection, and it was on the 7th of June 2003, which is my 18th birthday.
Were you there? I don't remember.
I was there. It was Insurrection in Newcastle, and it was you know what? It was a special dynamic for me, especially because my 18th birthday was the 8th of June was my birthday the next night, but it was the day before my birthday. It was one of the Triple H was coming through that era, was my absolute favourite to see live. I hadn't seen Nash live before.
No.
So it was pretty special to see them. But the interesting thing was, Shawn Michaels was in Nash's corner and Ric Flair was in Triple H's corner. So it was four, you know, really great guys who I hadn't seen, you know, live before, and all in one match. And Shawn and Nash were billed as being the managers, you know, they weren't going to be in the corners of them. But within sort of, the entrances to that match were amazing. The atmosphere it was in the Telewest Arena, I believe. Mm-hmm. The entrances were class. Nash had his, like, big diesel entrance with the fireworks and everything. Triple H, the atmosphere was crazy for Triple H coming out because he was the big star of the card that night. And people were going nuts because it was when they hadn't been over that much, you know, during that time period.
Yeah.
So, like, the crowd were really hot for that match. And obviously, Shawn Michaels and the Nash were there as well. They weren't meant to be involved in the match in any way. And within sort of 2 minutes of the match, Flair's not only been in the ring fighting Nash and Shawn Michaels at ringside, but he's busted open and he's just absolutely losing blood everywhere.
Wow.
Full crimson mask. Bearing in mind he's the manager. And him and Shawn Michaels are fighting on the ramp whilst Triple H and Nash have their match in the ring, and it was just one of them ones where, you know, I just loved the match. I've watched it back so many times. Just one of them nights that it was one of my first big shows that I went to, and that was the main event. And it was just obviously they'd done the bit backstage beforehand because they were building up to Hell in a Cell the week after with Mick Foley as the ref,
mm-hmm.
and just the promo package building up to with the video and everything was just so great.
Yeah,
and backstage earlier on the night they'd done a rare. They'd done a segment with Stone Cold and Bischoff in the ring with Chris Jericho, a highlight reel, and it was one of the better highlight reels. I think it was probably one of my favourite ones. And you can tell how hot the crowd are, because at one point Jericho says, "If anyone wants to see me drink a beer with Stone Cold Steve Austin, give me a do wah diddy diddy dum diddy do." And the whole crowd did that, do wah diddy diddy dum diddy do. And Stone Cold's like, "Well, I never thought that would happen, so let's have a beer." But yeah, it was during that interview, the highlight reel, that Stone Cold had decided he changed a match. "Eric Bischoff, I've changed a match." And Bischoff's like, "You've done what?" And he's like, "I've changed a match." And he's like, "You know, the main event this evening with Kevin Nash and Triple H, it's going to be a good old-fashioned street fight."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was awesome. And the Ric Flair's reaction in the backstage with Triple H. Done Triple H had his proper Ric Flair hair as well. And he's like, "Nobody knows how to fight in England. You want to put me in a street fight?"
What would your second match be?
But yeah. Second match would be, let's think, the match I showed to people who aren't wrestling fans. Like when I was at uni and nobody had ever watched wrestling before, I always show them The Undertaker, Mankind, Hell in a Cell, because although they might not grasp the technical aspects and stuff, they can certainly understand somebody falling off a 15-foot Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
And the fact that he carried on, and you know, Mick Foley was one of my favourites for a long time as well, and you know, I read all his books, met him quite a few times and stuff, and just that match, I just think it's a great one to watch. It's so entertaining. It's just, you know, it was so different than a lot of other matches that, that's sort of the one I go to, because people will watch that, be shocked and want to know more. So that was that's my sort of jumping on point for people who've never watched a wrestling match before, don't know what to expect. They watch that and then suddenly they want to know, "Oh God, he fell off there and he's still all right. You know, he's wrestling the next month. What?" You know, it's like, you know, it's a good one to catch people's attention, and it's, you know, I just love watching it every now and again, because it was just an awesome moment, I thought.
And
my third match would probably be another one that I just one of my own personal favourites. I think for my third one on this, I would probably have an ECW one. Rob Van Dam is one of my faves.
Yes.
I was lucky enough at For the Love of Wrestling last year to have a drink with Van Dam, and he asked me to ring announce him in the bar. The hotel. And so there's a video of me online doing my ring announcing for Rob Van Dam, because I said, you know, I might not get a chance to ring announce you in an actual match, so should we just do it in the bar now? And he's like, "Yeah, man." But yeah, my match I'd pick would either be the Bam Bam Bigelow match from ECW, because that was one that really caught my attention on him, when he did he does a big jump to the outside.
Yeah.
And the crowd are going nuts, and then it just builds up so well. Bam Bam's settling it, you know. Bam Bam's down. He's still down on the outside. And that was when Van Dam did the flip off the top to the outside, and he just absolutely nails it.
Yes.
And it was the first time I'd ever seen anyone hit that move before, and I was just, like, blown away. I was just like, "That Van Dam is amazing."
I'm loving his...
That was a good one.
His divorced dad's dream gimmick at the moment. "Well, this is my girlfriend, but this is my girlfriend's girlfriend."
That is, yeah. No, that's, he's hilarious. He's just, every time you meet him, he's funny. And, you know, if anyone was going to have a girlfriend and a girlfriend's girlfriend, it's going to be Mr. Monday Night RVD. So. But, another time I saw him was Invasion against Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, that was
that was a great introduction to the WWE audiences.
That was the match that got me back into wrestling.
That was a real standout, that match, because I liked his ring gear for that match as well, with the skull and the orange, the black and orange, and it just exposed him to a whole new audience, and it did it so well. You know, everything he did, that match between him and Jeff was a cracker, and when he Van Terminated him down into the pit in the thing, I was like, whoa!
Yes, I'd stopped watching for years. I missed the whole of the Attitude Era. And then, I don't know, I just somehow heard that there was going to be a WWE versus WCW versus ECW show. So I ordered it, and then there was that match.
Back into it there. That was you jumping back on point there, you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I sort of watched right the way through. But, you know, just certain things really stand out for me. I have, you know, certain stages where I can look back and think, oh, that was what I was into at that time. You know, I used to just love, when I first started watching, I used to love, like, this little stories, like, things like The Rock's breakup.
Yeah.
That was just one of my favourites. Even just, like, the little stories. Like, I had, like, a couple of year-in-review videos at the time. And things like Tatanka getting blinded by the model Rick Martel.
Yes.
Just little stories like that, just interwoven into. I just love little things like that, you know, just that just so different. But they really stood out to me, you know, bits and bobs like that.
Martel blinded Jake the Snake, and then he had white eyes, and the doctors come again.
Oh, WrestleMania 7, and they had the. Yeah. Great. The blind man's match. You know what? I still enjoy that match. I watched it the week because. A lot of people slag it off and say it was a terrible match and stuff. And I always remembered it with really fond memories. So I watched it back and I actually still enjoyed it. But a lot of people slate it and say it was terrible. But, you know, for what it was, I think it was great at the time. You know, the whole story leading up to
it's
it.
It's a crowd.
The match itself is fun.
It's good for Martel the crowd.
Martel and Jake made it. It was great. Yeah. You know, if it was other people doing it, it wouldn't have worked. But the fact that they did it and I just thought Martel's acting in that is just... off the charts, yeah. You know, and you know, he's hilarious. So. Is he a for the love of wrestling, Martel?
No.
I was thinking he'd be a good guest tomorrow.
He would
Tito.
Be. Yes, Tito's
there. Tito's there, isn't he?
Yeah.
You didn't just call him Chico, did you?
No, I called him Tito. So I've got two more questions in this bit. So
go for it, yeah.
Graham Fisher asks, Spike Trevay is the best at getting heat at the moment. How are you going to cope with him?
I'm going to cope with him. Well... The Mad Dog copes of everyone. I've had to put up with a lot of people. I've had that bloody sandwich short of a picnic. Casey Owens pecking me out for the last year, and the She Wolves and all them. They're all trying to wind up the ring announcer. You know, I just concentrate. You know, if I can do me Davey Starr, I'm all good in the hood. You know, so Spike, he's a big upcoming star. He's I've watched a lot of his stuff. He's great at what he does. But he won't be bothering the Mad Dog. I'll be all good. And if he does try and wind me up, then you might see me making me in-ring debut sooner than you thought.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of his stuff in Riptide. He's so good.
I will let him use my microphone if he feels he needs to speak to TNT audience in Liverpool. I'll lend it to him brief time. I'll tell you something interesting. Actually, Spike is one of only two people who are in the top 20 on the Babyface app who I've not ring announced for.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was looking at that the other day, and so obviously I'm ring announcing for him next week. It is 8 days away, and the other person is Cara Noir. I've not ring announced for Cara Noir.
Has he just made his progress debut?
I believe he's just won no spoilers allowed, but I believe he's won a title of progress.
All right.
So good on him. But I hear a lot of good things. So, and I've seen a lot of videos as well. So looking forward to that. Will be one of my bucket list for 2020, I suppose. Ring announce for Cara Noir at some point if we can. Mr. Raptor.
And then one more from Graham Williams, who came in just in time. So is there a company you want to work for?
You know what? My schedule is absolutely rampacked this year. I believe I'm at the moment ring announcing for like 60 shows.
Wow.
I work full time and I'm a dad as well, so I look after the mad pup. My schedule is jam-packed this year, so, you know, I'm happy with where I'm ring announcing for. We do great stuff, and I've started doing a bit of commentary as well, so, I'm having a great time in professional wrestling, and, you know, I love working with the guys who we've got around at the moment.
Transferable skills between ring announcing and commentating?
I believe... But both are a different kettle of fish. The ring announcing is something about getting across the fans who were there, and making sure you're hyping the crowd up, making the guys have the best entrance possible. Making sure that the atmosphere is great in there. And then the commentary is more about information, relaying information to somebody who's at home or is watching online or live, and. And it's relaying information and telling a story a bit more. So I enjoy all aspects of professional wrestling. So the better I can get at commentary, you know, the better I will be as a storyteller.
Are you going to be one of them ones who learns all the moves, or are you going to be one of them move?
Well, you know what? I think at the moment I would naturally dive on and be like a colour commentator, you know, yeah. and just say stupid stuff, really, because that's the stuff that comes to mind as soon as I see anything happen. But I was working on a show last week, and I did more of the play-by-play, and I want to improve at that, you know, because although I know the moves and everything, you know, it's naming it at the right time and getting it all spot on is important. So, yeah, I'd be happy doing either as long as I could, you know, do a good job. It's important to me to make sure you do justice to the guys who are working so hard and ladies who are, you know, working so hard in the ring and, you know, getting their story across. Basically, you're helping them. So,
yes.
Yeah, the better I could be at that, the, you know, the better it is, really.
Right, idiots. This is Mr. Williams, your Wrestle Island GM, superstar, film star, wrestling star in the UK. Make sure you listen, subscribe, like, Broken But Glorious podcasts. Idiots, get it done now.
So what shows you've got up in the coming up in the near future? So you've mentioned TNT, is that on the 30th, is it?
Yeah, so yeah. Our big one for TNT coming up is DOA. So that's the Deathmatch Tournament at Hangar 34. That's going to be on Thursday the 30th of January. We've got some awesome matches on that, the Deathmatch Tournament.
Is that the one with Jordan Oliver on?
No, Jordan Oliver, I believe it's going to be at Merseyside Massacre, which is on the 20th of February. But this one we've got coming up, we've got some big names on this for a Deathmatch Tournament. So there's going to be a barbed wire match, a fans bring their own weapons match, a drawing pins death match, and a carpet strips death match just in the first round of the tournament. Mm. And the eight competitors are Jack Jester, Aspen Faith, Charlie Evans, Ricky Shane Page, Session Moth, Jimmy Lloyd, Clint Margera, and Spike Trevay. So it's you know, what a lineup that's going to be for the evening for a death match tournament. And then just to throw in as well, Kings of the North versus Grizzled Young Veterans.
Wow.
Is on the card as well. So, an absolute night of wrestling there for you. And, you know, it's going to be presented in extreme style. It's different than all our other shows that we do for the rest of the year. It is a deathmatch tournament. Mm-hmm. We warn people beforehand that it's over 18s. It may get very violent. It may get extremely violent. People may leave in ambulances, including the fans. No, but it's awesome. Last year's was it was excellent, and if this year's is anything to go by, it's going to be amazing. You know, tickets have sold out in record time for it. It's our best selling, quickest selling show. You know, that includes like shows we did when we were at the O2 Arena as well. So in Liverpool, So it's great. Looking forward to it. So that's going to be a pretty special show. Then I've got another show this week lined up as well. I'm working with Britannia Wrestling Promotions doing their Royally Rumble show. That's this Saturday night in Prestatyn, which is going to be another cracker. That's got the BWP 30 Man Over the Top Rumble.
Yes, is that just traditional Rumble rules? They have some.
Yeah, I think that's going to be classic Rumble rules. Yeah. That one. So I'll be ringing out in that one from a safe distance.
Yeah, I've seen some weird Rumble rules over the years.
Oh yeah, you get some different ones. Like I've seen all sorts.
I went
to
EPW. I think they had matches during the show, and all the losers started the match, and then after like 10 minutes. Then every 2 minutes, all the winners come out.
That is a good way of utilising talent on a show.
Yeah.
I respect that. And it makes sense as well, which is good. So, excellent.
And
just thinking, what else we've got? Oh, Saturday, we've got the PWI World Catchweight Championship is on the line as well between the King, Dylan Roberts, and Matt Fox as well. Fantastic, Matt Fox. That'll be a cracking match. And... yeah, that'll be a good one for... I meant to mention for DOA. We've got Top Rope Brewing are involved for this one. It was made as a DOA lager, canned lager, which will be available at the end of the show, I believe. So so at the end of the show, leading to the after party, everyone can have a can of DOA lager to drink. So it's pretty awesome. It's all been labelled up with the DOA t-shirt design and everything.
The after show's at whatever the crazy house is called now. Is it
Electronic? That's it, yeah, Electric Warehouse, Electric, is it? Yeah. But every time we've had an after party there, it's been insane. So, yeah. Looking for more.
Did I see
more
that
like
Jack
that,
Jester's the DJ as well?
Yeah, if he's still
alive.
I was going to say alive, but. Yeah, if he's able to, I hope he'll make it. So I don't see any reason why he wouldn't, as long as he's in the barbed wire match in the first round. Ooh. Last show he ended up wrapped up in barbed wire and we had to cut him out. So I don't know how well that's gonna go really, but we'll have to see. Hopefully he'll make it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having a catch up with him. He's a good laugh, the big kink when he's out partying. But yeah, other shows have got coming up in the next couple of weeks. We've got the Wrestle Island, obviously. They've got a big show on Sunday the 23rd.
Yes.
With Cameron Solis and Scott Oberman having their rule match. Looking forward to seeing that one.
This must be the feud ender, because it's been 18 months of amazing matches, but the last man standing match feels like a feud ending contest.
You know what? Every match those guys have been great. And Cam, obviously, has had a little break and then is back involved. And he's, you know, Scott Oberman has just gone from strength to strength. Over the last 2 years, I've seen him develop so much, and he is, you know, he's absolutely top talent now. It's a real honour to see these guys working, and you know, I can't wait for that one. And obviously, it's at our new home of the St. Anne's in Rock Ferry, so it's really easy to get to that one if you're coming from elsewhere around the country, as Rock Ferry train station is literally a minute away from the venue, so that's going to be a cracking show, that. And then, obviously, we've got the Wrestle Island Rumble on that one.
Yes. Who's your pick?
Oh, good couple of choices there.
Storyline-wise, it would say Warren Banks, I think.
Well, Warren has done great. He was the Wrestle Island champion for a moment, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Dan Evans snatched it away with the old briefcase there. But, yeah, I think Warren, it could be a good shout, but then you've got other strong competitors about people like Henry T. Grodd has been in the background of the island all the time, lurking. He's a strong competitor.
He's just been confirmed to come on the show in 3 weeks. I'm really excited.
Who has Grodd?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go. That's going to be my pick then. The man of many faces, Grodd.
As long as he doesn't fall off the stage. Makes
oh,
it sick.
Goodness. I can say nothing about that band from talking about him.
Maybe Terry, is it? He's had some huge matches over the last 18 months.
Definitely, you know, and the crowd are really growing to Terry. I think, you know, he's a rule breaker, he's a troublemaker, but, you know, people love him, so...
My 14-year-old bought his T-shirt a couple of years.
Hey, well, there you go, exactly. See, and that's what it's all about. So as long as he keeps doing what he's doing, I think it's not going to be long before there's some sort of gold round his waist.
Yes, and I think my girlfriend would like Matty Brooks to win. She's got sleep.
Matty Brooks.
Secret crush
he's
on him.
The innovator of song style, you know.
Yes.
He's what a great guy. And, obviously, operatic. Have you ever heard Danny O'Doherty sing, though?
No.
the owner of Rise Wrestling up in Leeds. I popped up for the Rise Rumble the other week at the...
Is that the one where
Brunel Social
Paradox
Club there,
had a match against each other? Is that one?
Mate, Danny O'Doherty's a living legend. Some of his musical exploits are just—they've got to be viewed. If you look on his Facebook page, you know he's just recently done a collection of some of his best musical endeavours. Definitely worth a watch.
we also have the Prospect Trophy final. So, who's your pick for that? So, fan favourite Billy Norton versus very impressive 17-year-old. RWA champion Harry Bichetti.
Yeah, Harry. I think Billy Norton's a legend. He's a wrestling legend. He's really done great there. But Harry McKenney is going to be something else. He's really one to watch. I'd love to see him and Dougie Matthews. I think they're two people who are on a very similar wavelength. You know, I think Harry McKenney, I think he'll just take that there. And I'd be intrigued to see if and how Tel Bannum is involved in that, because at one point there was something going around about Tel Bannum being involved in some way with Harry McKenney, maybe as a trainer or a teacher, a master. I don't
mentor,
know quite what was going on there, but it's interesting. But Tel obviously is an intriguing character. He put on the show in the Koala Slam.
Yes.
In Leeds last week. That was the show I was commentating on. And, you know, he raised thousands of pounds for Australia there for the bushfire, the Port Macquarie Koala Sanctuary. So, yeah, what a great job they did there organising that with just a couple of days to organise it. Did great, got everyone involved, and, you know, it was a great evening.
Yeah, they've got Alexis Falcon. She could finish as two belts, Alexis, at the end of the show, because she's getting awarded the women's title finally, and then she's got a match against Dan Evans for the Ireland Championship.
I would love that to happen, although she does generally use me as a coat stand when I'm in the ring with her for a leather jacket. I think if anyone deserves it of the female division in the UK, she is definitely right up there. You know, she's absolutely brilliant, and you know, character-wise and wrestling skills, you know, I just hope she has is on her A game and watches out for the potential threats around her, because, you know, Merseyside Mercenary Squad, power couple, you know, there's all sorts of stuff for her to watch out for there at ringside. If I was there, I would invest in some sort of, you know, security to come and help her out at that show, to be honest. Add to the fact that she's got the rejected still after her as well, probably, you know. It could end very badly for that young lady that night. We'll have to see.
Yeah, she's been interesting to see. Yeah, she's been announced for a charity show I'm going to tomorrow, so I can't wait to see her tomorrow. So.
Oh, wonderful! That'd be great. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
And
the other show
tickets,
I've got,
obviously, for Wrestle Island. I was going to say Jody and Pete. Anybody looking for tickets for Wrestle Island, contact Jody and Peter Blackham on Facebook or whatever, and they'll sort your tickets out for that. I know almost all the VIP seats have already sold out for that show on the 23rd,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure it's a slightly smaller venue, I believe, so I would get your tickets in quick for that one, and make sure you speak to Pete and Jody about that and get them sorted. Other bits and bobs I've got coming up, we've got on the 8th of February, I'm up in at the Lancashire Wrestling Federation.
Yeah.
The LWF doing their show. They've got the Lancashire Riots Rumble there as well, which I believe is a slightly different concept to to your classic Rumble. I think a few people start in that one, and I'm looking forward to getting back up there. It's in Chorley,
mm-hmm.
so that should be a good show. We've got TNT Ignition Breakout Sunday the 16th of February. Obviously, you're coming along to
me and the kids are coming, and we've got whole family.
That's going to be a great show.
It's the first one.
By Sean Anderson against T-Bone.
Yes.
It's going to be for the Ignition title. And that show, there's still loads to be announced for that show as well.
Yeah,
it's going to be.
I've seen Rio versus Alexis Falcon and Crash Boat versus Young Gun.
Oh, mate, well, Crash Boat, legends, Crash Boat. And the Young Guns, really impressive when I've seen them a few times recently. Obviously, really standing out, the Manchester guys. And Crash Boat are just, you know, one of the best teams
I've
on the scene.
I've heard amazing things about Crash Boat. Young Guns, the first time I've seen them live, it's the last Ireland show.
Yeah, of course, they were really impressive, weren't they, in that match?
Yes.
Yeah. That was quite a quiet moment there. was that thinking, or was that...
I was very impressed with them.
I thought you pull off a heel turn then straight away on them, but no, it's okay, we'll lay off with that one.
I'm really looking forward to this. It's the first time me and the family have been to a show in Liverpool all together. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
I think, so.
Oh, well, that one is obviously going to be a fusion, so it's... it's really easy to get to from Central Station in Liverpool, and it's you know, it's such a good venue, and you know, for the kids, I'm sure there'll be like meet and greet opportunities and all that sort of thing at that show. So
that's
it'll
our
be,
Isaac's favourite bit, isn't the meeting all the wrestlers. So.
Oh well, there you have it. That's you know, they love that, don't they? And it's you know, it's the wrestlers do as well. To be fair,
wrestlers, you need to start doing really small kids sized t-shirts, because my 4-year-old wants a t-shirt. We won't fit in a small man's.
I think that's definitely something they need to look at. I'm sure Peter Blackman have some Wrestle Island t-shirts, I'm sure, for them.
Yeah,
coming up, that's something he's definitely got in his plans there. And my next big show then after that, they're going to be the 20th of February, is Merseyside Massacre, so TNT Extreme next big show, and that's the one we've got Casey Evans defending the women's title against Lizzie Evo, and Mr. David Starr. I'll be practicing my ring announcing again once more as he defends against Eddie Kingston.
Yes,
that'll be good to see Ed. And that's when Jordan Oliver's going to be doing his
I'm a huge fan of Jordan Oliver. I love his work in MLW and Injustice.
Yeah, oh, great. Well, that'll be great to see him over. And
I interviewed his tag team partner, Myron Reed, last year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
And were they saying about coming over to the UK and everything?
Oh, he said he was really looking forward to coming over one day. He didn't have anything planned back when I interviewed him. They need to be MLW tag champions by the end of this year. They're so good.
So. Well, it'd be great to see him getting involved. And obviously then after that, leading on to our next show after that's going to be the 5th of March, I believe. That's Project X, which is going to be sort of based on our Ultra X division, I believe, which is a concept we've had a couple of times, which is, it was really sort of high-flying and innovative wrestling. So we're looking forward to seeing that as well. I know there's a couple of names been announced for that already, I believe, as well. Some more debuts and some, international famous names and other people like that. So it should be a good show.
I need to find a wrestling friend who will come to over 18 shows with me.
Oh, there's loads of people. Just come along. The thing about TNT Extreme, there's so many people from all over the country now.
Yeah.
Come for the shows. And we do like a meetup. We're looking at organising the Mad Dog meetup before the show.
Oh, wow.
Walking up to the venue.
Yeah.
Everyone can have a few drinks, catch up. Anyone who knows each other can meet before the show. The matches start, everyone's having banter in the crowd. And then after the show, we have the after party. So everybody who didn't know each other, by the end of one show, you'll know everybody there.
Yeah.
You'll have everyone on Facebook, Instagram, for Twitter. It'll be, you'll know everybody in there. And that's it. And then once you've met everyone once, that's it. At every show,
sounds amazing.
Get involved, part of the team. That's it. And that's the great thing about British wrestling at the moment. There are so many people who go to all the shows, and Wrestle Island's testament to that. They're heading down to WP on Saturday.
Are you enjoying the feud between the two companies at the moment?
I was just lucky enough that I worked for both of them before they started feuding, so no one there, so I didn't have to pick a side. So, of course, I enjoy it. Paradox, great team, RJ Silver and Connor Klein. Obviously, they're going against the Dogs of War. Dave Faulkner is the Encyclopedia of Pain.
Yes.
And Babyface Pitbull. They are an awesome team. And, as a Paradox, and, Paradox have had some of the best training in the UK. So, that I can see that feud going for a lot longer yet, because I don't think Paradox should have lost the belts at the last Wrestle Island, and I look forward to seeing them win it back. If you ever watch the footage back, I'm sure you'll see me celebrating with with Paradox at Wrestle Island. And that Max, that referee,
that little Gollum looking guy, he ran into
me, but he's not someone you want to be fighting with. Did you see him take out James Greenwood with that kick?
Yes.
Yeah, he's trained in the ways of karate and Jediism, that Max. I know that for sure.
The Dogs of War at this charity show tomorrow. They're teaming with Frankie Sloan in a 6-man tag.
Oh, excellent. Frankie's always a great banter, Liverpool legend. And,
he's the top of my I want to interview you tomorrow.
I've got some interesting stories about Frankie, but we can't talk about any of them on the podcast, sorry. He's a Liverpool legend, though, definitely. You know, people like him are a big part of why British wrestling has evolved and come on so far and done so well. Because, if it hadn't been for people like Frankie Sloan, Robbie Brookside, Dean Allmark, Keith Myatt, guys like that, we would go when a lot of people were watching like WWE, WCW and stuff. They were playing the trade. And they were training
boom, we had in 2014-15, we had that British wrestling boom, maybe.
13. Exactly, a lot of the guys came through then, didn't they? And it was, if you hadn't had guys like them around, there wouldn't have been a platform for them to perform on in the UK. So, as much as you might say, about Butlins and Pontins and stuff, if that hadn't existed and people hadn't seen the wrestling, no one would have ever knew about it, and we wouldn't have had the big resurgence we've had. So, everyone who's been involved, good on you all, because you've given these people a stage to perform on, so, they deserve all the props. Dean Allmark as well, interestingly, it's his 20-year anniversary in wrestling today.
Oh, wow. Today?
Yeah, so that pop-up earlier, yeah. He had his debut 20 years ago today, and he must be the wrestler I've seen the most in the world, because I've watched so many of his matches, and you know, the good thing about him is he knows so much. You'll never be bored by one of Dino's matches, even no matter how many times you've seen him. And
he can do a technical classic. He can do an hilarious comedy match. He can do anything. A submission match. He can just do anything.
Exactly. And I'm just gutted. He was on TNA back in the day, wasn't he? And there. But it was when he was sort of very young and up and coming in his career.
Yeah.
I don't think he quite got the breaks that he could have had. But I mean, he's travelled Japan, and you know, he says himself, he's made a living wrestling full time, you know, for 20 years.
Yeah.
And good on him. But you know, he says other people have had, you know, bigger accolades possibly, or better careers. I think he said before. But I mean, you know, out of everyone in the UK at the moment, if I was going to like pick a guy to start a promotion, he'd be one of the first ones down on the sheet, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he is one of the first, like, big, really big names we got on the podcast. He talked for so long, we had to split into three parts. So I think it was, like, nearly three hours
long.
Oh, there
you go. Yeah, oh, mate, and he's a nice guy, and he is a great wrestler and great trainer, so, yeah, good on him, and, yeah, it's great that he's done so well.
Shall we start wrapping up, so...
Yeah, man, yeah. Is there anything else you need to... want to ask me about, obviously, I mentioned the Pins and Knuckles merchandise. You sponsor TNT Extreme for your merchandise needs.
Yes.
Wrestling travel. If anyone's planning trips to the States or whatever, I've been to WrestleMania 23, WrestleMania 28 myself, and I had the stress and strain of organising them all myself. And, you know, wrestling travel will take all that stress and strain away from you and organise your trip for you. They've just had a successful... visit to Wrestle Kingdom in Japan. Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to go to any of them trips, do you know if they're dream locations for you that you want to get involved with, they'll sort you out a package bespoke to you that will get you into the action, and you can meet up with all the guys they sort out for you there and everything. You know, if you're worried about going to the States for WrestleMania, or you haven't got friends you want to go with you or whatever, then they're the people who'll sort it out for you, and you can go with them, and they'll introduce you to like-minded wrestling fans, you know, and make sure you have a great time. They organise your trip for you and everything, and you know, just you don't have to worry about it if you go with them guys, you know. So there you go.
Yes,
they're great people as well.
Do you have any social media you want to promote before we go?
Yeah, my social media, I'm always available on there. Mad Dog Mike Angus is on Facebook. You know, if you want to speak to me personally, Mike Angus, I'm on Facebook. I'm happy to chat to people anytime. My Instagram's really popping off now. So, yeah, check out the Instagram. That's all my wrestling pictures, past and present. There's a couple of fun ones gone up this week. One of me and Jeff Jarrett from about 2007 has just gone up when he was the NWA champion.
Oh, when we were at the WrestleMania Con, I was about to ask him for a photo. My phone literally died as I was about to tap him on the shoulder.
Oh, no, man, gutted. Oh, yeah, he was good banter at that. And, and I tell you, he was a bit shy, a bit quieter. That was Pat Patterson. Pat was just reading his book, chilling in the corner. I don't think many people had made the effort to go and chat to old Pat, but I made sure to go and say hello to him. He's always
Saturday sounded him in. That was only day on the Sunday.
So. Oh, was it? Yeah. No, it was. I had a brilliant time both days at that. And just think, was there anything else interesting I want to tell you? Oh, one of my favourite people to meet was. Michael P.S. Hayes when I was in Detroit.
Wow.
I met Michael P.S. Hayes and had a bit of JD with him. I think he had a bottle, I had a glass. I met his partner at the time as well. And while we were in the bar in Detroit, Donald Trump was in the same bar as us.
Oh,
there
wow.
you go. Yeah, that was in Detroit. That was just moments after Rob Van Dam had been crowd surfed off down the street. That was Pat Patterson. That's what brought that to mind, was the fact that Pat Patterson's trying to get Van Damme on the bus. Rob, get back on the bus, Rob! He's getting crowd surfed down the street in Detroit outside the Hall of Fame. But, goodness me. Get yourself back on the recovery road for tomorrow.
Yeah. It just seems like an evening cough at the moment. I don't know what it is.
It's just everyone's got it this time of year, haven't they? Yeah. I've been trying my best to avoid it because obviously my voice is my trade. So
it's just annoying because you have to edit coughs out. And you have to, if you don't cough, you don't have to listen to the whole show.
You could just get like a night nurse sponsor or something, or one of them cough syrup ones to sponsor you, you know, and then throw it in. Anytime you cough, just lash in the advert. Are you coughing again?
Well, I'll throw links to all the shows you've mentioned and your social media in the description below the interview. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed speaking to you today. I'd love to have you on again in the future. So.
Definitely, mate. Hey, any time you want to catch up about stuff and about wrestling, and obviously I've got I have tickets available for all the TNT shows. So you know, if anyone ever needs tickets, contact me, Mad Dog, and I'll I can do deals. If people are coming to multiple shows, we can sort out ticket offers for them and stuff. But contact me first, see what I can do for you.
Yeah,
all right?
I definitely want to do it. I've already bought tickets for 3 shows this month. Two of them are family tickets.
Great. It's gonna be a busy year for us. We've got loads coming up, and hopefully it'll all run smoothly, and we'll have a great time. And for Love of Wrestling, it's going to be great. So the Mad Dog's positive for the coming year. Looking forward to doing 3 shows.
Yeah.
It's going to be great, man. And great speaking to you, Chris. Keep up the hard work and everything.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
And enjoy chatting to you, and I'll do my best to... I may make an appearance tomorrow night. We'll have to see what happens.
Hopefully. It'll be good to see you in person.
Definitely, yeah. Have a proper chat and have a beer or whatever.